I sighted the microphone for the green light to the speed trap. Ray Garino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gas, with its mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track. Barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Garino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway side. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
All right, you are there on Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, with our brain-farting host, Ray Guarino, co-host Wingman, XO, and confidant Joe D.
Right, cranial flatulence specialist.
Hey, things happen. What can I tell you? I was hitting the head this week, okay? I was joggled. I was really messed up pretty bad. And in the studio, our special guests, men we've had in here for, I don't know, 10 years at least?
Close.
Not that.
Close.
Elliot Wiener, Dennis Benfante, representing their representative T-Bird clubs. Why don't you guys introduce each other? That'd be cool.
Dennis B., former president of Thunderbird Owners of New York, known as...
Tony. You got to say it the right way. Tony, right.
And you don't have to be Italian to join.
Exactly. And, but you do have to have a T-Bird.
Yes, no, you don't.
You don't?
No, you could join them.
All right.
And just a quick note, Dennis and I met by accident, probably, 13 years ago.
Wow.
At a President's Council meeting, sitting at the same table, and this is what has evolved into this.
Not only that, well, Dennis, please do the honors for our other vaulted guest.
Mr. Elliot Wiener, president of Long Island Thunderbird Club for as long as I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
And like Elliot said, we met at the President's Council meeting, not at the synagogue.
We're working on that, though.
Or at the cannoli convention.
And then he got me into doing swaps with the dealership, and we got built a friendship on that.
Yeah, that's the beauty of this. You guys not only have the club relationship and the Ford relationship, but then you kind of got into a business together, moving cars, which is great because the friendship transcended, like many do. They transcend the core thing that you guys were involved with. And that's great. And as long as we've known you, you know, we missed you for a year or so. We kind of, you know, but we're glad to have you back.
Yep, I'm glad to be back.
And our esteemed... I don't want to say old, but our last co-host, Chris, always sends out his warm regards to you guys.
Yeah, we miss Chris.
Loves you guys. He misses you,
co-host
too.
Co-host emeritus.
Emeritus, yes. Yes. So let's get right to it. Tell us about the show. Tell us when it is and what's going on.
Yeah,
because
bring it on.
We're going to have Carl Anthony from Automoblog calling in to do a thing. So we'll hit it now. We're going to come back to it later.
Okay. Our show is a week from today. That's Sunday, July 8th at the Key Food Shopping Center in Kings Park. This will be our 13th try, and we're doing very good. Day of show, it's $20. You get a T-shirt and a goodie bag for the first 100 participants. Over 30 classes, trophies, entertainment, 50-50.
Porta-potties.
Porta-potties, nice. Yes. We need porta-potties because we're old. Okay. And we have on the back of our T-shirt, we have three sponsors who have been there for us for 100 years. Tires, Inc., RJ Fregente Insurance, and one of our good friends, Bob Sarasso.
Excellent, excellent.
And it's all Ford show. We get about, realistically, we get about 70 T-Birds. The rest are Fords. This year, we're getting a lot of support, which we've had in the previous year from the Mustang Shelby Club of Long Island. They have sent out email blasts. We're doing something special. We give a best in show, which gets you a plaque and a jacket. We're doing a best in show just for them, just for their show, just for their group.
Class.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's great. That is cool. So let me ask you a question, Dennis. If a member doesn't have to have a Ford to join, But they have to have a Ford to be in the show. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's a Ford show. I mean,
so a member could conceivably not be able to attend the show with his car?
Well, he could attend the show, but without,
just without his car. Okay,
yes.
Just want to get that clear.
That's, like I was telling you before, a guy gave me a hard time. He called me up. That's he wanted to register a 53 Chevy pickup. He got insulted when I told him sorry.
Right, right, right. Okay.
It's a Ford. Yeah, come on, really.
Yeah, we have over 90
There's
members.
There's plenty of Chevy shows.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we talked about it. There's Camaro shows, there's Corvette shows, there's all sorts of individual Mopar
shows. Mopar shows.
Yeah. Mopar has,
I believe Plymouth has a show the
yes,
day
same
we do.
Day we do.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
Plymouth. There's a Plymouth show.
There's a Plymouth show.
I didn't
yes.
know about
they
that.
They got
one.
About four cars, I think.
All right.
Whatever. Right. I hope he's not listening.
Yeah, so. Well, never know.
But we do have to give a shout out because last year we lost our sponsorship. Mm-hmm. And we were planning not to do the show, but we had so many pre-registered and everything. We said, we'll go ahead and do it. If we take a loss, we take a loss. Mm-hmm. But we had a profit, and we managed to give the charity what?
Over $2,000.
Over $2,000 without a sponsor.
Without a sponsor.
And then we said that Elliot got up to the microphone and said that it's very possible this will be our last show. And one of my club members, Steve Seibin from Seibin and Seibin Law Firm. He has a beautiful 57 Thunderbird. He stepped up to the plate, and he's sponsoring the show.
That's great.
Yeah,
yep.
That's what a lot of people don't understand about who aren't involved with clubs and car shows. There's a lot of goodwill, and like you said, people just hear the right thing, and they step up. And right. that's what it's all about, and a lot of people never get to see that. And they just throw out the negative comments and the, it's like, where's all the money going? What's happening? You know, they think that you're getting rich off the show. You know,
well, we always put on a flyer that a portion of the proceeds will go to the charity.
Right,
we do
a major portion.
That's a major portion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Elliot, you could tell them about last year's honoree, Hugo.
Oh yeah, we had a gentleman. Obviously, our charity is Building Homes for Heroes, and what they do, they gift a house to a veteran. And, gentlemen, I forget Hugo's last name. Do you remember?
It's like Gonzalez or something like that.
Yeah. So he came from Florida with his family. And Hugo is legally blind. And about two-thirds of the way through the show, he got up and made a speech and told the whole world about the charity and about himself. And there were tears in people's eyes.
Yeah.
And from that point forward, we collected like over $600 in the jar. Just,
wow.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you know, car guys and gals in general are, you know, a very giving bunch. Joe, I know the guys you know, they give a lot.
Oh, yeah. They give it to you, all right. Yeah, that's so, for sure.
You know, and we joke about it. We joke about it right now. I mean, because that's what we do. But when it comes down to it, that is really the truth.
Definitely not for profit.
Car guys have big hearts, you know what I mean? Especially if it's a worthy cause, something like that, somebody's in need. Most guys are not selfish.
Right.
Well, on our flyer, other than pre-registering, there's a spot that if you want to donate to the charity. And people, yes, five here, ten there. There's people who are giving us extra $50.
$50. I've seen it, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that adds
what
up
you
to
got,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So tell us, I guess we'll start with Elliot. Tell us about your car. Because there's something, you have a kind of, both of you guys have very special and
unique
cars, yeah. But yours is
very unique.
Stands out above the rest, especially in size.
It's a 1976 Thunderbird, cream and gold edition.
Right, right.
Where the exterior is cream and gold and the interior is cream and gold. It's made on a Mark IV platform. Never passed a gas station didn't like. and my door probably weighs more than most cars.
Right.
Example is I was in Shelter Island yesterday and coming back, because I had the AC fixed a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
As I headed back on Sound Avenue, that gas gauge kind of disappeared.
Yeah.
But it was cold. It was
right.
Nice.
Yeah.
No, it is.
Yeah. And Dennis, yours, your baby?
Mine is a 57, last of the two-seaters.
Yeah.
And It's a driver. It's not a concourse car.
The ones we like.
But it's nice and small compared to Elliot's.
The baby, yeah.
But I have a quite sizable garage. And Elliot's, when my car is in the garage, you could do a dance. And I had Elliot's car in my garage for a period when a neighbor was working on it.
And you had to have an extension built.
I know I'm on radio, but you had to walk like this.
Yeah, right.
To get through. Yeah.
Suck it in.
Suck it in.
Exactly.
Well, years ago, at I think our first Syosset Ford show, We were in the city for the car show.
Auto show, yeah.
And I said, you want to do this? And we had two license plates made up. One said cuter, and one said bigger.
Mm-hmm, right.
So why don't you tell the fans what the story was from that?
The story was, when we were working out in Riverhead for Eagle Auto Mall doing swaps, Elliot went out with his car one day, and he stopped by, and he told the girls that worked there, you know, come down and see my car. So they went down, they were looking at it and Googling, you know, ogling the car and everything, how pretty it is and everything. So about a couple of weeks later, I was out in Riverhead, so I stopped by with my car, and I said, you know, come down and see my car. So they came down, and they're looking at it and everything. I said, Elliot's is bigger, but mine's cuter.
Yes.
That kind of stuck.
That was the theme, yes.
That's great.
There you go.
Yeah, how could you not? That's that's fantastic.
You got to have the sense of humor when it comes to that stuff.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And car guys typically do. That's exactly right. You know, that's kind of what we find, that's the thread.
My car is similar to Dennis, but the fact is it's not a number one, it's not a number two, it's number three. But as Steve Simon would say to me, you have a very unique vehicle.
Yeah.
Because of the color combination.
Yeah, and it is a beautiful combination. It's a very nice, eye-appealing, soothing kind of combination.
It's not a 70s car.
Yeah. It's not harsh. It's real nice.
And mine's resale red.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I was cruising around with my buddies in my buddy's 72 Chevelle yesterday up in the Catskills, and I commented, since it's all original, like how the seats just felt like couches. You know, even in a Chevelle. I mean, that wasn't even like an Impala or,
That's how they used to do things, but you got in there, you were comfortable.
The cloth insets, and I tell you, I was in the back at first, and then I went over to the front, and I'm like, yeah, it's like sitting in a couch. It's nice. You forget about that. You know, we forget that's what we grew up with. That's how cars always were.
You're not talking about the little T-Birds.
No.
Very uncomfortable.
Okay, yeah.
Well, I was at a show at Cold Spring Harbor a number of years ago, and a woman comes over to me and says, can I sit in your car? I said, sure, but you got to promise me something. She goes, what's that? Just don't fall asleep in here.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's very comfortable. It really is.
That's very good. They are. They all of those cars.
It's like a living room.
Yeah, the A-bodies. It doesn't matter what it is. They're all nice. And that's the thing. You know, with the clubs on anywhere, what the clubs do is preserve these cars and get them out there for people to see. And the most important thing is get them out and drive them.
When somebody says, why should I join a car club? And I'll give you a perfect example. Our vice president, his name is Paul Racina. If it wasn't for Paulie and his talent level, I probably wouldn't have my car.
Oh, wow.
I mean, a couple of years ago when it was the 60th anniversary of the Thunderbird, I gave him a list of stuff that I needed done.
Uh-huh.
He's a supervisor right now for the New York City Fire Department, but he's just an amazing guy. So he did what he had to do. Plus, I said, whatever you find, fix it. And just recently, a couple of weeks ago, he fixed my AC after all these years.
Excellent.
Yeah. And it's just, that's why you join, because the knowledge you get from the clubs itself, right? Even Dennis's club, there's a couple of guys, Signorelli and Bob Sarasso.
Gepi DeSimone. They know every
bolt and every wire by its first name.
Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a first break, and we're going to, instead of fixing it up, we're going to wrap it up with more of the fabulous Thunderbirds. That was our pick for today. And we'll be back with more Motormouth Radio.
Really? Yeah.
So keep it where you got it, and we'll be back in a minute.
This is Ed Planets, president of Personal Preference Chauffeur and Limousine Services. Our company is proud to support Happy Hour on 90.3 WHPC. Rudy, speaking of which, congrats on winning that trophy over there. It looks great. I'm happy to support award-winning shows like yours.
Oh, that trophy? Thanks, Ed. I picked it out all by myself. Hey, if you come with me to the trophy store later, you can order one for you. I mean, they gave me a great price, so I'm sure I can get you one.
Wait.
Come join the party with me, Rudy, each Tuesday night at 7 p.m. on The Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHBC, or listen to us online through the iHeartRadio app.
It's now easier to listen to the voice of Nassau Community College on your phone.
Stay connected to your favorite radio station anywhere you go on the iHeartRadio app.
Never miss shows like the Nassau Morning Madhouse, It's Saucy, or the Radio Rumble Again.
Streaming 24/7, 365. Listen to WHPC everywhere.
iHeartRadio is radio and unlimited music all in one app.
Listen live now in the iHeartRadio app and at iHeartRadio.com.
Just search for 90.3 WHPC.
Boy, I love watching Joe dance like that. Don't you guys? I mean, he really knows how to boogie. This guy can definitely... I used to slip a disc.
But he could get hurt.
He's on... Look at him. He's down on the floor. I saw the leg going out. I don't know if he hurt himself or what. He hurt me just by looking at him. Jeez.
You got that antispasmodic medicine over there in the... You want to grab that out of my bag,
yeah,
please?
Yeah, well,
I'm going to need it there.
I think so.
Before the show is over, we may have to put him on the DL.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, there you go. The coach over here said, laying it down. The coach also said, we must mention that, talking about social media, people can call this show after Carl Anthony calls at 516-572-7440.
Yeah.
Find us on...
Give us a shout.
Find us on the web, motormouthradio.com, and follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Twitter is Motormouth Radio. Instagram is real_motormouthradio.
Yep.
And we will. You can find out some of the crazy things we do when we get a chance to
How long it took me to find that underscore thingy on my phone?
Right? I know. You got to go to symbol and...
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, we... And also, you can listen to the Essential 80s here on Saturdays at 2 o'clock. That was the day before here. It's a new time for them. Ron Stevens is back. Listen for the hits of the decade that brought Madonna, Michael Jackson, and to Whitney Houston and Prince. He does a great job. He's a fantastic guy, and he's back with us. So, while we wait, let's...
So the whole thing with the clubs, I like that, because what happens is you get the sharing of knowledge. I mean, because somebody, you know, with that many cars together, somebody's taking whatever it is that you want to know about apart. You know, been there, done that, got the teeth marks, you know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah, it broke it or burnt it.
Yeah.
Well, here, I have a question for you guys. Did you ever hear of a Thunderbird that was an S code? S is in Sam.
No, I do. Well, I'm not. You know, I'm not a T-bird aficionado, but no, I can't say that I have.
The story goes: there's a North Jersey Thunderbird Club has a Thunderbird show every second Saturday in June.
Okay.
So I go. I belong to that club, and I've gone for like 20 years. So 2 years ago, there's a red, I believe it was a 56 T-bird with a very unusual color,
right.
And on his plaque or on his show card. He said it was S code.
Okay.
So I go, I don't know what S code is. They tell me that back in 56, you could have the car painted any color you wanted from any manufacturer.
Really?
And it became an S code, except you were just going to pay for it.
Maybe S for special or something.
Oh, yeah.
So, wow, I never heard of it. And what color was that car?
Red. It was a red I've never seen before.
Is that so? So it was a different manufacturer's red.
Yeah, I think it was a GM red, but okay.
In 56, you said?
Yeah.
In 57. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, they had what they called a dial-o-matic seat.
Okay.
There was a dial on the left side of the driver's side, and you got in the car and you adjusted it to where you wanted.
Right.
When you put the key in, it would go to that position. When you took the key out,
memory
it would
seat.
Go all the way back and all the way down.
I just thought of the red machine with the chrome dials that was in the A&P. You could grind your coffee.
It looked like
right,
that.
Yeah.
It had a dial just like that. Dial-o-matic.
I think the colors, there was a guy that showed up at our show a couple of years ago, big bird like mine. It was a 75, and it was a red that I've never seen before. And he's telling me on the Marty Report it's one of one. Hmm. And he's telling me it was a dealer car. So maybe that dealer did the same thing by having the car painted other than a Ford color.
Right, right. Just to, yeah, because maybe he just liked that color or whatever.
Yeah, whatever. I guess it's available. It was available back in there. Wow. I don't know if they could do that now.
Yeah. Were you aware of that, Dennis? Was that something that was in your...
I've never heard of it. That's
okay.
Brand new to me.
I just Googled. I came up to a tbird.org, and they have like a body trim plate decoder. And sure enough, the S is special color.
So, okay.
Whereas, like, some of they had P code for Primer. How cool is that, right?
You would hope they all had that.
Right. And then, Raven, A was Raven Black, R was Torch Red, so on and so forth. But, yeah, the S was the special color,
I never knew that. And that was, it's, you know, it thinks when you know everything.
Right, right. Well, that's, but, you know, that goes to show you that we're always learning.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's so much information out there that, you know, anybody who professes to know it all is full of it.
No, we know that. But we know that, don't we?
But we went to the Field of Wheels at Newsday.
Uh-huh.
I'm behind Elliot, and the guy says to me, you with him? I go, yeah, he's all right. Follow that Lincoln.
As always. Listen, if I may, in relation to our show again, right, I just wanted to mention a few people's names. Alan Leon. I don't know if you guys know who that is. I think he's been on your show.
Yes, yes.
That's the gentleman that owns most of the BP stations on the island.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
He's been very proactive with us. He just gave us, to raffle off, a couple of items from BP itself. It's a BP toolkit, which is...
Nice.
You guys see this? It's big. Okay. It's big. And I opened it up. It's got a lot of stuff. And two backpacks loaded with mugs and pens.
So nice.
He's been very pro. And plus, he gives us two BP gas cards for the longest distance driven.
He gave us one $50 card for the longest distance, and there was a big controversy with two guys complaining. I went further. I think it was like 3/10 of a mile or something.
Yeah.
So the following year, he said, "I'll give you two 25s." And
right.
That's what he's been doing since.
We're going to go to the phones, and I guess we
think it's not flashing.
Yes, I will tell Clark, because we got behind the caller. I didn't want to interrupt you.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, but from now on, if you see me do this, I'm waving my arms, that means shut up.
Shut up.
Right.
Well, Alan Leon has come to a couple of our, he's been a guest speaker at some of our meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever he comes, he always brings a couple of $25 gas cards and has some trivia questions and everything.
That's cool. Yeah.
That's nice.
It's amazing when you get to meet at meetings.
And you find out when the earth cooled and the ocean is formed.
Oh, God.
We're going to go to the phones and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, Ray. Hey, Joe. It's Carl.
Hey, Carl.
How you doing?
How you doing, man?
You're on with Ray, Joe, and we have Elliot and Dennis from their respective T-Bird clubs in the studio with us today to hear what you have to say.
Pleasure to meet you, gentlemen, Elliot and Dennis. I was enjoying the conversation. My father... for years had a 1979 Ford Thunderbird. To give you an idea of what the car looked like, baby blue, and it was all hood. The longest hood you've ever seen, and that's what I remember from my childhood.
Oh, yeah.
And at the very end of that hood, that Thunderbird logo down there, 351 Cleveland under the hood, soft blue seats inside, and get this, cruise control, which I was enamored with as a kid.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Wow. So, Carl, now so many years in the future with the work that you do with modern cars, how do you equate that to what you see today on the roads? I know that's a kind of a crazy question, but I think you know what I mean.
I do. And one thing that's interesting, if you look at Ford, we'll just take Ford vehicles. Years ago on my father's Thunderbird, there used to be on the cruise control, there was a plus minus button. And for every time you hit that button, you would speed up 1 mile per hour per second if you hit the plus and so on and so forth if you hit the minus. So you could speed up and slow down, you know, within 5 miles an hour just by hitting those buttons. My father's Thunderbird had that on the left-hand side.
Right.
Now, flash forward, we're 2018, you look at adaptive cruise control where cars can speed up and slow down on their own. They have a radar sensor. Now you're talking even autonomous driving. But it's interesting, all Ford vehicles today still have the plus minus button, just like my father's 79 Thunderbird. So
think of it,
in retrospect, the more things change, the more they stay the same.
There are some things that, you know, that are traditional amongst the car makers that they just do things, just whether it's familiarity or they just don't feel like coming up with a new symbol, or I'm not sure what.
My Chevy Impala does that. It's a 96, but still. And it's nice to be able to go just a little bit. You know, sometimes you just want to back off because you see you're catching up to the car in front of you, which is what, you know, the autonomous cars do, or the adaptive cruise control. So you have the manual version. You just, instead of taking it off and resetting it, just kick it down 1 or 2 miles an
hour. It's got those sophisticated sensors called eyeballs.
Well, yeah, the ones that we used to used to be, you know, good at what they did, and now with some of the people on the road. You know, Carl, I have to say, I took a trip upstate New York, and on a Saturday morning going up, everybody's got trucks and trailers, and the amount of people we saw with wrong-sized pickup trucks per trailer. I think people look at the weight of the trailer and think, okay, the truck will handle it. But then they load the trailer, and they fill it. They put, like, you know, 100 gallons of water in it, and they put, you know, they got the bathroom supplies. And all this camping stuff, they add hundreds, if not 1,000 or so more pounds. And a lot of this, and we saw tongue weights that were off and trucks that were bouncing around. And these are newer pickups, not 56 Chevys.
Right.
You know,
and, you know, the unfortunate thing, guys, is that, you know, the automakers don't help that. They put out a lot of their marketing about these max trailering and max tow capacities, and you see marketing videos about these trucks running up hills, pulling massive, you know, right at their limit. And people think, oh, yeah, the truck will pull it. Yeah, you're right, the truck will pull it, but what about when you have to hit your brakes? They don't think about stopping or turning or steering.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times, when we talk with folks, you know, and we get inquiries on towing in correct form, they have a 1500 series truck or a half ton truck, and we start asking them what they're going to be towing and how much they're going to be towing, and we say, ah, you might want to look at a 3/4 ton. You might want to look at a diesel, not just for straight on tow capacity, but for your GVWR and GCWR. That's huge too. People forget about those numbers.
Sure. Yeah, and all you have to do is go out on the highways of America. I saw it yesterday, and it is scary because, you know, you don't want to be near these guys if something was to happen. And forget the ones where you see the trailer is, like, rusty and the wheels don't look like they were serviced. God knows if they ever touched the bearings in those things.
Well, we always say how, like, you never know what's going on in the cars around you. Like that video we had with the brake line that time.
Oh, geez, yes.
Yeah. Believe me, and I test drive a number of cars during the week in my job, and it's like, you really, is that tire really round?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Is it supposed to be smooth and shiny on the tread surface?
Yeah, right.
You know, and these are people next to you who might have to hit the brakes or swerve or whatever, and hopefully they'll be able to do it.
I've told people who came into the shop for something else, like, oh, by the way, those two front tires are getting a little bald on the outside. You may want to look at that. And I had a woman tell me, she went and looked, and she was very concerned. She goes, oh, you mean like right here? I'm like, yeah, though, right there. That's time to change those. Oh, it's a lease. It's going back. Like, well, when's it going back? Well, like 6 months. It's like, you need tires now.
Yeah, right.
And you came in because you want something done because you're taking a trip. Mm. So,
right.
Cuckoo.
Cheap. No, they're more like squeaky cheap. Yeah.
So, Carl, tell us if you can weasel that into some other segue of a story from all the great stuff you guys cover at Automoblog, I'd love to hear it.
So, big thing, we kind of started off talking about autonomous cars and adaptive cruise control. As you guys know, being in the shop, being around cars all the time, autonomous cars are going to affect the workforce to some capacity, but nobody knows how. We just say they'll affect it, it'll change things, but to what degree? So Toyota Research Institute is now starting a study with the American Center for Mobility here in Michigan. And they're based, American Center for Mobility is based in Ypsilanti. It's not far from where I live in Detroit. They're working with Michigan State. They're working with Texas A&M Transportation Institute. They're coming up with a study that should be published later this year. We just learned about this week, that is going to explain or give us some insight of how jobs are going to be affected by autonomous cars in the year to come. And then if we have to change job training accordingly. So that's big talk right now.
Yeah, you got that on your website here.
You guys do cover that quite a lot, yeah. If people should follow you on Twitter. They should follow Automoblog on Twitter because the updates, the daily updates are just phenomenal.
Thank you.
Good stuff.
A lot of that goes to my brother. He's our social media manager, so he's keeping all that news fed out on social media. Our brother, my brother, Alex Hartman, who's our social media manager, he's very diligent about getting all that news out there. So I'll pass that along, you guys. Thank you.
Please do, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it, some of this stuff is going to be the future. You know what I mean? Especially some of us older guys are going to be more holdouts. Like, I want to drive myself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I would feel a lot better about driving myself. But you know what? Having driven through certain neighborhoods in Queens, and it's like, you let these people have licenses. I think I'd rather have, I'd rather have some type of sophisticated software doing it. I mean,
they should be on the bus.
Yeah, it's like, even though I'm a big fan of open the pod bay doors, Hal, I think that we're going to have to go that way because people are too distracted. People are, you know, they're talking on the phone, they're texting, they're thinking about the seven things they got to do when they get to their destination, and then the 14 ones after that, and oh crap, I'm, nobody's thinking about driving no more.
Joe, right. you just let us in. Carl, we're going to keep you on through our break. Sure. We have to take a break. You just let us into our break song, which you didn't even know how good this was. It's called I Don't Care. And that's about like people driving. They just don't seem to care.
No, they don't. Right.
So keep it where you got it on Motor Mouth Radio. Ray, Joe, Dennis, Elliot, and Carl Anthony will be back in a couple of seconds, maybe about a minute and a half, and we'll be back and talk more about this great stuff.
Just keep it where you got it.
Let's throw it back to the T-Birds.
Wow, that's like crazy loud music. What are you listening to?
The best music on the radio. Come on, this is the Iron Age.
The what age?
The Iron Age, the show that brings you various types of heavy metal music from all over the spectrum.
Really? I've never heard of it. How do you know so much about it?
I'm the host.
Wait, if you're the host, how are you driving this car and on the radio at the same time?
Come on, don't ask so many questions. The Iron Age with me, Justin Sullivan, delivers the best variety of heavy metal music that you could ever ask for. Only on the Iron Age will you find music as ridiculously heavy as Meshuggah and Oceanic, along with chill and relaxing tunes like Tool and Deftones.
Well, that sounds cool and all, but I think I'm just going to listen to something else.
Ooh, I think that's going to be a problem. I think you're going to have to find another ride then.
What?
Oh my, oh my, oh my. Let me tell you about this fine show we have here on the station called Motor Mouth Radio. It is a car show hosted by Ray Guarino and Joe D. But you know what? It's not just cars. Sometimes talk about other things, and even when they're just talking about cars, it's about the love of cars. It's about the feeling you get. You know, they open up a hood and they say, damn, I want to redo this engine. Not everyone says that. These guys do. And like I always say also, you know, you watch those cooking shows. You don't cook. You can listen to these guys not know anything about a car. So please listen to Motor Mouth Radio every Sunday, 12 noon, right here on WHPC. And if you don't listen, that's your fault. You'll go through the rest of the day saying, damn it, I didn't listen. I should have listened. Sort of like Motor Mouth Radio. You don't have to like cars to listen to them. It helps if you do, but you don't have to. Thank you.
All right, well, we do care here at Motor Mouth Radio. Ray Guarino, Joe D., Elliot, and Dennis. Carl Anthony on the phone hanging in with us, and the fabulous T-Birds giving us our musical respite there.
Respite.
What's up, Carl? Tell us, where do we leave off with you?
Autonomous
vehicles, yeah.
We were talking about it on the break in the studio, too. So, let's. I know that you've asked us about that, and we're on the fence. We're kind of old school guys, and in some ways, it'd be so nice to be able to sit back and just say, "Yeah, drive me there." But right. You know, driving for so many years of our lives, it's almost like I can't trust it. You know, it's so. Where do you fall in on that?
So, good question, and you guys are not alone because there are numerous studies that are coming out now that say that the number one concern for the general public is safety. They say, you know what, I'm open to the idea, but I'm still not 100% sold. And there's some people who are just straight up against it. So we hear two stories. We hear from the manufacturers and from the industry that it will be this great thing that will do nothing short of save the world. And then from the other side, from the general public, we hear, I'm not so sure about that. Where I fall is, I guess I don't know. I guess at the beginning, when I first started writing about autonomous driving, which was in early 2015, I was all for it. I was like, yeah, this is the greatest thing, and it's coming, and it's going to be awesome when it gets here. And then the more I started to immerse myself in the industry, the more I started to have some of the questions of the general public, like, is this really possible? Like, can we achieve an accident-free world? I believe that we can. I just believe we're moving too fast. We are going way too quick. The technology is progressing farther and faster than the public can really get their mind around it. Yeah, the laws and the legislation haven't caught up to the technology. Public awareness, public acceptance. So we're just moving too fast. It's not that it's not possible. It's just that when we hear from manufacturers, by 2021 or 2020, I mean, that's like right, that's two, three years from now, and we're expecting that all these cars will be fully autonomous by then with all the bugs worked out of the system. I don't know, guys. I have a hard, maybe 50 years, 100 years, but as soon as what we're hearing in the automotive industry, I doubt it.
You took the thought right out of my head, because I was going, you know, most newest systems, you know, that they've come over, they've come up over the years, you know, emission control, automatic transmissions, cruise control, that kind of stuff. It took like maybe 5 to 10 years to get certain things right. Now you're talking about an extremely sophisticated system that, you know, has got a boatload of variables. And unfortunately, if you get something wrong, somebody's going to get killed.
Yeah. Carl, you've ridden in an autonomous car, haven't you?
Several times, many times.
Spooky.
We have not, so I can't speak from personal. Have you, either of you guys?
No.
So we have not. So can you walk us through what that's like? How do you go into autonomous mode? I mean, we don't know the first thing about it.
Yeah, and usually in the experiences I've been in, they're demonstrating a certain piece of technology. So, for example, it might be LIDAR. So the car is on a pre-assigned course, usually like at Wayne State University, which is here in Detroit, or like the M1 Concourse, which is a certain setup track where they actually can go out and race cars. But when you go, you're usually sitting, like when I go with the journalists, when they have a media thing, you sit in the passenger seat and there's somebody from the company. It might be their LIDAR that's in the car. So they're explaining, okay, this is our LIDAR mapping this pre-assigned route, and you can actually see it. There's a screen that's in the car and you can see it. Mm. You can see all the hardware up on top of the car when you get out. But the steering wheel moves on its own, and whoever is the operator or the representative from the company sitting in the driver's seat, they don't touch anything. Mm-hmm. And you feel the car accelerate and brake around corners. And it's, guys, I tell you, Ray and Joe and Dennis and Elliot, it's almost so scary how accurate it is, because these cars will run this course for these media events upwards of 100 times a day. And as you're coming around the course, you can see the black rubber marks there. I mean, these autonomous cars don't have any variance at all. They stay in the exact same pathway that they're programmed to stay in. You can see it by the black marks as you drive through the course. The cars stay right in a pre-assigned path.
You know, as it
There's
should.
No deviance.
You know, your washing machine should do the same thing every time. Your dryer should. So to me, I picture that in ways you're describing that. I picture an amusement ride where, you should go around that track every time the same way and stop.
Right.
But the thing is, you're in a controlled environment away from the idiots and the crazies. So do they ever do anything where they have a car come in from the side maybe to see, like with crash avoidance or, you know, because that's a big part of it, obviously, too. Yeah. You know?
And you know, the thing is that in my work in the automotive industry, I've conducted demos like that where I've actually been the driver. So instead of being in the passenger seat, I'm on the driver, and I say, you know, we're going to, you know, this person here, okay, they're going to come across, they're driving another car, you know, try not to be, you know, nervous, you know, trust the system, or we'll take a run at a barrier. And it's a barrier that is, say, you know, they're made of styrofoam. You know, they have reflective deals on them to mimic another car, but you'll take a run at that. And even if you hit that at 20 miles an hour, if the automatic emergency braking doesn't activate, you just roll right through it. But you see how other passengers get very tense in those exercises.
I think it'd be cooler to not tell them it's coming, and then the system works, and they go, oh, yeah, they get scared crapless, and then all of a sudden they're like, hey, you know what? It worked.
Right.
You know, I mean, for the demonstration purposes. Right.
I mean, your reaction would be to brake, though.
Right, of course.
Yeah, that's your reaction.
We'll go, ah!
Then you got to clean up the seat.
It's like, yeah, it's right. Like airplane, you know.
We're going to have to come up with some new fabric. One of the things we'll have to come up with some new fabrics for the interiors, of course.
We'll go right. Back to Morokine, you know, get the old GM vinyl stuff.
You can cleaning leather.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Like, with all the autonomous stuff, my brain goes different directions. I'm thinking, boy, will it see, like, you know, a bird dropping coming and put the wipers on, like the commercial with the guy with the umbrella? You know? Is it that good?
Oh, that would be great.
Right? I know.
Awesome. I mean, that's going to have to get a lot more sophisticated. These cars are going to have to be able to talk to each other.
Well, yeah.
You know, that's something which now leads you into, okay, now that they're all talking to each other, now they can get hacked.
Or can they get back at us? You know, we're going to we'll continue with this, I think, every time we talk, Carl, so I don't want to beat it to death. I do want to ask you about one particular vehicle that came to my attention this weekend, because the fellow I work with at the shop is thinking about picking one up. It's, it's a Dodge Ram, but it's the Rebel Edition.
Oh, yeah.
And this truck has a full airbag suspension, guys, that can go from wheels tucked into the wheel wells to 39-inch ride height. And I wasn't aware of it. And it's... Can you tell us a little bit about that? Some stuff that I, you know, that we don't know?
Yeah, really, really, when you get into the Rebel, it's a lot of different styling elements just kind of right off the bat. But that suspension is meant to canvas all different types of terrain. So there's different settings in there that, you know, say if he's going to be on some rougher roads going to the North 40, like out to go fishing. But then there's other settings that, you know, he can go over, you know, full-blown larger rocks and larger off-road, you know, obstacles.
Right.
There's, I've seen demonstrations done with the Ram 1500 where you can actually take the truck like up a side ramp, and these ramps just happen to be made of concrete, but you can take it up a side ramp in two-wheel drive. You go till it stops, and then you push on the gas, and then the automatic locking rear differential of the Rebel kicks in, and then you can actually canvas and go around and down the other side of the ramp. You've got then, you know, the different ride heights. So as you're going, you know, this course that I saw, there were different speed bumps on it. So they were offset kind of speed bumps. And as you went down, the speed bumps got thicker and thicker and thicker. Well, you just drive the truck and the suspension just continues to adjust automatically. So even though the bumps get bigger and bigger, the suspension just continues to rise automatically. Then you get to the end, and then the suspension realizes, okay, you know, there's no more of these obstacles. You know, you're driving normal at 20, 30 miles an hour. Then it just lowers itself naturally. So it's a pretty self-serving system in that regard.
Yeah, very cool. And not that expensive either. I mean, they kept the price point fairly reasonable. I'm pretty impressed with this little thing. And now they have like a mode that's of ease of entrance. I was thinking about my mother-in-law. It's hard for her to get in and out of vehicles. You drop the truck down, she can get out. Bang, you bring it back.
I hear they're going to tie that to the GPS, so if you're in East LA, the thing just goes right to the deck.
Right.
And then once you cross over to the other county, it kind of comes back up.
Now we go to North LA.
Interestingly, what I heard is the truck cannot be driven in the fully dropped mode. It will not drive.
Right.
Yeah. That's cool. Well, that's good. I'm glad we got an update on that, because he's interested in this truck, and it looks pretty promising.
Yeah, and the 5.7 Hemi, I mean, it's an evergreen engine. It's been around forever. It's just long proven.
Right.
That thing's definitely got some grunt to it, that's for sure.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, I've driven lots of those, whether they're in passenger cars or trucks. They get out of their own way.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, they do.
Right. And if you take care of them, is, you know, that variable valve timing system and the variable valve system isn't bad. Just got to stay after them.
So, Carl, before we have to run, what, you have any other hot topics you want to cover?
Just speaking of Hemi, new Dodge Charger lineup came out, and it's powerful and fast. And so the Hemi is the whole reason why I don't want cars to be autonomous.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Right.
No, you
know.
I'm sorry. You can't do that.
Well, yeah.
We'll just have to take over.
Yes.
You will drive at 25 miles an hour.
I was driving in this nice convertible Mustang GT yesterday with a Borla cat-back system, and it was just nice to be able to, you know, drop a gear and accelerate, and you hear that sweet reverberation.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
No computer's giving you that, you know?
Mm-hmm. No. That's raw. It was meant to be.
Absolutely. Fun stuff. Well, Carl, we thank you very much for calling in again. We wanted to get you in a couple weeks ago, but we've been so slammed with great, you know, guests. Not that you're not. You're one of our great guests.
Thank you.
It's always a matter of juggling, and we just kind of...
You gotta see what he does. He's got the sticks, and he puts the plates on there, and he kind of wiggles. It's pretty amazing.
I'm trying to get on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Then I got to sweep up when he sneezes. But that's another story.
Everybody's got a dream, Everybody's got a dream.
Got that right, Carl. Thank you very much. We'll be in touch. We'll keep you in the loop, and we'll speak again soon.
Thanks, man.
Sounds good. Take care, everybody.
Take care, Carl. So long.
Bye.
All right, that was Carl Anthony from AutomobileBlog.net. Check him out. Follow him on Twitter, AutomobileBlog.
Website rocks, man.
They really do some cool stuff. We're going to take our last break, and then we're going to come back. We'll make this a quickie, and then we'll come back and finish
some
up
T-Bird stuff.
With more T-Bird stuff, right. Keep it where you got it.
Let's sing along with Bruce.
Join me, Kim Tracy, for the music of Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band on Thunder Road, Sundays at 1 p.m. on the Voice of Nassau Community College 90.3 WHBC and on the iHeartRadio app.
This is Dennis Pitchenberger from Sticker Shock, and if you're not listening to Motormouth Radio, boy, you are lost in the smoke of the burnout. Make sure to tune in each and every week because these guys are exactly what you want to hear. Real car guys, real talk every single weekend.
And here we are. It's the weekend again. Joe's playing a harmonica. Elliot's over there on the kettle drum. And Dennis has the bass drum, the stand-up bass.
He's got the tambourine.
I know, Joe, he took your instrument this week, but that's okay.
That's all right.
We're sharing.
Literally wipes it off when he's done.
Yeah, okay.
After talking or listening to Carl, it's amazing what a dinosaur I feel I am. Because I remember when they put FM radios in cars and said, wow, could it get any better than this?
And we're going to charge you $256 for the upgrade, yeah.
Yeah, with reverb.
Reverb, yeah.
Quadraphonic and speakers in the rear.
That's what I got my car.
That would be about the right era for it, yeah.
Yeah.
I just got the original demo tape, the 8-track that Ford used to give in 76.
Yeah.
Where you push it in and then you hear it bounce around to all the speakers.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Playing with phase tracking and all. That's great stuff. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, every time, that's one of those things where, what will they think of next? And sure enough, somebody turns around and does it, you know? But let's face it, you know, considering what your car was a spaceship back in its day, right?
Yeah. It's loaded, except for a moonroof. Every seat is power. It's got share carpeting.
It's got that
quadraphonic, you know, 8-track.
Right.
You know, and that was 4 speakers. Now, when you look at my Mustang, that has about 800 speakers.
Oh, I know, yeah.
And my Mustang comes with the box, you know, with the... which I didn't even...
You know, in the Mustang I was in yesterday, it has the shaker system in it.
Yeah, that's what I have.
And let me tell you something. Giant speakers on the door, other one, and with the convertible on the throughway with the top down.
You can hear.
You can still hear.
No problems.
The door shake. Yeah, no.
Very nice. Yeah, they very nice.
There's a guy that comes to the cruise night. He has a 1906 Cadillac.
Oof.
And you look at that car, and it actually had little knobs to adjust the oil.
The kerosene.
And you know, look at how far we've come.
Yeah.
And what's it going to be, like Joe said, 100 years from now? It's mind-boggling.
When I kid around it, I say that my car never passed the gas station. And like, my Mustang, high performance as it is, gets over 30 miles to the gallon on the open road.
Yeah. As long as you stay out of it, right?
Right.
It's
we were driving the Chevelle around, and Mike Jr. was driving it. And every once in a while, he'd get into it just so he could see the cowl induction hood pop up. Like, oh, that is so cool just to watch that. You know?
Yeah, good old one stinking mechanical solenoid run by one stinking wire. I mean, yeah,
low vacuum pop. Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah nice. See, we're such cheap dates. You know?
I know. Yeah. It's not hard. Yeah, shake a hood. It's all
listen,
that cool stuff.
Listen, in the early 70s, I lived in Oklahoma. I had a 1970 Plymouth Roadrunner convertible.
Oh yeah,
383. And when you used to punch that, you could actually watch the gas gauge go down and not come back. Yeah.
And now bend over so I could kick you in the rear end for selling it.
Right.
I actually traded it in because I was coming back to New York.
Don't tell them what you traded it in for. It's embarrassing.
You've actually told a story on this show, and although I don't recall the car, I think you should tell us just so we do know.
I traded in 1973 Chevy Nova 350 hatchback.
Okay. Well, that's utility. You can't put stuff
in there. It was a nice car, but...
What's the Chevy worth now, and what's the Plymouth worth now?
That Plymouth, I would guess... I did my homework a number of years ago. There were only like 600 units made with convertible. So you see the dollar signs?
It's a rare bird.
Rare bird, yes.
Yeah.
I know.
And just besides the fact that when a top goes up, the top goes down, the price goes up, right? So... Yeah. Wow.
That was a nice car.
Yeah.
So.
So in the week now preceding your show, what kind of madness and craziness do you guys have?
Well, we have Dennis is going to pick up the trophies on Monday. Our shirt should be ready midweek. okay, right. Knowing that July 4th is a Wednesday,
yeah.
Then him and I have to sit together. We do a spreadsheet to see who pre-registered. We made up the cards for the dashboard.
Mm-hmm.
The Mustang Club gets a different color,
okay.
So we know who they are as opposed to a non-Mustang Shelby Club member.
That's good.
You know, because they're getting a special award.
Right.
And then we have to rent a van because no freebies anymore.
Yeah.
Unless anybody's listening.
Mm-hmm. Or donate a van.
Or donate a van for 2 days.
Well, maybe this caller on the line wants to donate a van. Let's pick this up. We'll say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths. Do you have a van available for the Ford show next weekend?
good afternoon. This is John from Freeport.
Hey, John.
Hey.
What's going on?
What's up, man?
I just wanted to let you guys know that Russia won the World Cup game. Not the national autonomy, but Russia just won the World Cup game. I was trying to pay attention to both of you at the same time.
Oh, okay. Soccer,
anyone,
yeah, okay.
Who's watching, who's listening to you instead of, for a while, well, never mind. I just wanted to do a report that Russia won, and I'm enjoying the show.
All right, thanks a lot, John.
Well, thank you.
All right, so long. Always good to get a sports update.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost 1 o'clock. You know who has not called in yet? Come on.
We know the big man hasn't. Yes, he was saying he was going to. That's why I thought that might have been.
Didn't we run into him at the Newsday show?
With car? Which car did you run into him with? Because
it depends.
Was he a big enough dent? I don't know.
No, he. Yeah,
I don't think he had a car at the show.
No, he was just.
He was
giving out flyers for a show the following Saturday.
At the Food and Fun Deli over
yes,
there. Yeah,
very good. Okay,
that's right. That's his pet project over there.
Is it really?
Well, yeah, he's into it. He's reminded us quite a bit about it.
Well, this
let's see who this is.
Let's push this button. Say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Yes, hey. Bob. What's up?
Good. I have a question for your guests.
Shoot.
Go ahead.
I think I have the answer, but there's a trivia guest question. Okay. All right. The last year of the biggest engine that Ford put into a T-Bird. I think I have the year, and I think I have the engine.
The last year...
I might. I could be wrong.
Okay, so the last year for the biggest engine put in a T-Bird.
Right, and the engine size,
4-6
and the year. We got a T-Bird guys in the studio, so...
Okay, well, Elliot has a guess. What's yours, Elliot?
76, 460.
Okay, 76 with a 460 cubic inch. How's that, Bob?
I was there.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah,
okay.
We had a wagon.
What did they put in 77?
302.
Oh, they went all the way down to 302.
Yeah, they down 77, 8, 9 were the three largest Thunderbird production years ever.
Well, I remember they had those huge taillights.
Yeah, yeah. But we had one of the
wagons with the 460 in it, and the front end appears to be kind of similar. I wonder if that front end was relatively the same. You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe.
All right, guys. Hey, thanks. Great guests and great program.
Thanks,
Thank
Bob.
Thank you very much, man.
It was a pleasure.
Take
bye-bye,
care.
Guys.
All right, so long. Oh, that's Bob from Rockville Center, always with a
nice 76 was the last year of the Big Birds, and then 77, they downsized them to that.
Yeah.
Those have a nickname, the 77 to like 80.
I'm thinking the late 70s, it was big. They were big cars with those big rectangular taillights. A friend of mine bought one brand new. I don't remember exactly what year it was. That was not a small car.
Well, the car itself was downsized just a little. But the engines, no more 460s.
And right,
even,
right.
And even in 76, the 460s were all detuned. They weren't a lot of horsepower.
What did they call the...
Glamour
Birds? Flarebirds.
Flarebirds were 64, 5, and 6.
Oh, okay.
So, what were the Glamour Birds? I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah, I know that each generation,
yes.
Yeah, when you get into getting into the 80s, which is a decade that I always try to forget as far as cars were concerned. Now, if they're going to start getting names, I'm never going to remember.
They made some, in 1980, 81, 82, they made those little boxes that they called Thunderbirds.
Oh, yeah.
They overgrown like Fairmonts or something.
Yeah, they also made Cougars with the same body style. And,
right.
I always liked that car. I always liked the 80 Thunderbird.
Yeah?
Yeah, okay. Really?
I have to see a picture of it to know. I don't really recall. So.
I think it was based on like the Fairmont type chassis, though, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they were all gray.
Yeah.
All gray, yeah.
You know something?
With a red, interior, right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
That was a hot color scheme. You know, that always comes up. All different years have different color schemes.
It's really sad that they don't make them anymore. You know, there's always rumors. but after 2005, we were done. No more.
Yeah.
Right.
And considering Ford's not going to be making passenger cars outside of the Mustang no more.
Yeah.
That's right.
How is that contingent of the last run of Birds? Are they running strong? Is there a club for them?
No. There's retro Birds in Dennis's club. There's retro Birds in my club.
Really? Okay. Yeah, I could see them. They could fit in either club, I guess.
Yeah.
Because right. they were emulating your stuff, but they fit with your stuff.
Well, the advantage of the 2002 to 2005 is you don't have to kiss the hood in the morning to get it started.
Yeah,
you
know? Right. Yeah.
Just get in, put the key in, and hopefully go.
Yeah. Right.
That car's got a lot of jag in it, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, they do. After 02, in 03, 04, and 05, they added like an extra 20 horsepower and went up to like 280.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. What else was Jaguar influenced in there, Joe?
Well, I remember we had a couple come into the shop and misfires and vacuum leaks and stuff like that, and that was primarily the result of that Jag. Well, it was a kind of Jag Ford collaboration powertrain.
Right.
So
okay.
We were like, I don't know, should we like drink tea and work on it, or
Earl Grey?
Yeah, right. Or just go grab a couple beers, you know?
But, there you go.
Wasn't it on a Lincoln LS chassis though?
There's LS in it too. There's definitely LS.
Wow.
Because the battery was in the trunk, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. I mean, we don't, I think we had like two or three of them. They were pretty straight up, misfire stuff like that.
Well, you know what's interesting? The 05, which is the last year, was anniversary edition. Mm-hmm. With low mileage, that still commands about 30.
Really?
Well, I guess because of its, you know, its historical significance there.
Yeah, and then if you get an 05 with an interesting color or an interesting edition, it's even, you know, higher.
All right. They didn't do the Bill Blass edition that year, did they?
No. Only for the Lincoln.
Or the Cartier.
Yeah, Marks, the following
year. Yeah, the Marks,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right.
Signature series.
Yeah, that's right.
That's cool stuff.
Well, what Ford did in 76, too, even though my car was my car, they made four special editions. They made a Bordeaux. They made a silver, and they made a lipstick, which was really nice. It was all red with white and red accents inside.
Hey!
But each car had its mechanical. Like mine came with four-wheel discs, climate control air. Each one had a different theme.
Twin outboards. A life raft in the back, yeah.
That's right.
Oh, that's something. Before we're getting to the end of the show, throw out any contact information.
Yeah, by all means, websites, stuff like that.
For the car show before we do have to get out.
Okay, we're on Facebook under Long Island Thunderbirds. I don't think Dennis's Club is on Facebook. We also have our own...
We call that Faccia Bruta.
Oh, okay.
That's our version of Facebook.
There you go.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
And
yes, Dennis, I'll explain it to you.
And we also have our own website, which is through Hemmings.com. Click on clubs, then plug in Long Island Thunderbirds. The flyers are available, except probably over the next couple of days, we probably won't take any more pre-registered.
I was going to ask, is there still room to get into that show?
Yes.
There is. Okay.
Yeah, we have no ability to take credit cards. Mm-hmm. We don't do that. So
just bring green pieces of paper already. Yeah.
So right. Day of show is $20.
It's easy. One bill.
Yeah. And what we're going to do is this year we ordered a lot of T-shirts.
Nice.
Yeah. We didn't do that last year because we weren't sure. But so everybody get a T for the most part. Unless you're a quadruple X, then you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Okay.
And don't lose weight.
Our club also has a website through Hemmings, but you can also access our club through ctci.org.
What's CTCI?
That's the Classic Thunderbird Club International.
Nice.org. Okay.
And they're based out in
California.
Signal Hill, California.
Okay.
And you go to chapters, and there's a link to Thunderbird Owners in New York.
Or if you need to reach... do we give phone numbers over here?
You can, yeah.
Why not?
If you need to reach me, it's area code 631-724-3756 or Big Bird 1900 at AOL.
Great.
And I'm 631-447-3847, T-Bird Den with two Ds at optonline.net.
You can call these guys if you want to get a pickup game of softball going. Maybe roll a few at the bowling alley. They'll sit in with you, transport your car. Right? Well, me and Joel get in there.
We do windows and white walls.
Right.
If we can get a butts out there after the show, if we could have to slam the door and go, fine, maybe we can make it all out right. there.
Gentlemen, we're at the end of this show. We got to go. Kim is here. Thunder Road. Keep it where you got it.
Pleasure,
Thunder
guys.
Thunder Road. Hey, yeah, you know.
Have a great show, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you.